Krakasiti kilotuma pra krakasiti kilotuma premaka. Rotama kremeki siki lutuma papakasikia ankia makasoka kriamatrabakasia. Rotama krakasiti kilotuma pra krakasiti kiamaka. Ropra kia kisi ikilotuma pra krakasiki de kilometriamaka. Rotama kapakasiti. He said these words. I heard these words. He said, the time is coming where those who are circumcised only in the flesh will be weeded out of my kingdom, says the Lord. Yes, for as the darkness grows darker, the children of light must grow brighter, says the Lord. And those that are only halfway in my kingdom, those who have one foot in the world, will be weeded out. For they will not be able to stand. For they've been programmed by the tactics of the enemy. And as the seeds that have been planted in their hearts from not separating themselves from the world continually begin to grow and are watered, those the tree that is planted in them will come to harvest. Yes, for the fruit will come to light. So come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Be separate in every way. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you, says the Lord. Ropa kasiti kilotuma papa kasiti kia maraka. Rotuma kasiti kilotuma prabra kasiti kilota. For the time has come to wake up from your slumber. For the hour is nearer now than when you first believed, says the Lord. So be aware of the hour and the season that you live in. Be conscious and aware of how great of a time and how great of an opportunity you've been entrusted with. Yes, for there's much that we have been entrusted with. So begin to act upon what you know to a greater level, says the Lord. Consider very carefully how you hear. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Those that have will be given more, and those who do not have, even what they think they have will be taken away. So now is the hour to continually press into me by my Spirit. Spend much time alone with me in my presence and pray. For I've called you to serve me as kings and priests of the Most High God. And there's much prayer that must come up before my throne to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in these last days. So separate yourself from your own desires and be sanctified by my truth. My word is truth. Separate yourself alone for me. Spend much time with me. And in these times that you begin to trust me, in these times when you endure patiently, waiting for those things that I've placed in your heart, you will find that the fellowship will grow greater and greater. And you will see that you have learned to trust me all along, says the Lord. Ropa kasiti ki emlotuma kasiti kiata kerabakasiti kiyamaka. For it's in those seasons, as you wait for the answer to that which you've petitioned me for. Yes, says the Lord, it's in those seasons that you grow to trust me and rely on me and develop the faith that is necessary to be sustained, to develop the fellowship with me that I've called you to as my sons and daughters. For I've created you for fellowship with me, says the Lord. I've created you to be with me. Yes, it is first and foremost that you must be with me, says the Lord. For it's during those times that you are with me that you will be transformed. And as you are transformed, you will become more and more like me as you go from glory to glory, higher into me. So know that I'm with you. Ropa kasiti ki ileba perakasiya. Many recognize in their own minds that I am with them when times are good. They have great rejoicing and feel as if I'm with them. But know this, says the Lord, I am with you when it feels like I am not with you. Yes, for I am the God of all comfort, and I comfort the downcast, and I am with you when times are troubled, when the waters are not still, when there's great storms that surround you. I am still with you, regardless of how you feel. For I am the God of all comfort, and I comfort those who are in any trouble, says the Lord. For I am your ever-present help in time of need. Yes, it is I. Yes, it is me. I am your ever-present help in time of need. So recognize that you are with me, and recognize that I am with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you in these times where I feel like I am far away. For I'm right there. I am a God that is near. But you must recognize that I am the God that is right here. I am always near when you draw near to me, says the Lord. He said, so use these times when things are operating on a normal plane to develop the faith that's been planted in your hearts. For I desire for my children to grow strong faith. For your faith will grow exceedingly as you keep your eyes stayed on me. So develop your thought life. Yes, let your mind be stayed on me, for I keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. And it's when you enter into this rest, when you enter into this peace that is found in my presence, that you will find that your emotions will no longer dominate you in times of trial, and you will be able to keep the attitude of faith that is necessary for me to bring forth that which you've asked. So rejoice and be glad when everything looks contrary to that which you've asked me for. Have great joy. And know that you don't have to be moved by your senses, for I've called you out of darkness into my light. And you've been illuminated by that light to see that which cannot be seen with the natural eye. So see and perceive as natural, real fact that which you've asked for. See it with the eyes of faith. See and believe that I've poured out all these blessings by faith, says the Lord. Ropa kasiti kia makosuta kide kile kia dr makosuta koloma pi rebra kasiti kiloto mapra makasiti kia romra kisi kia matamako bra kasiti kiloto mapriera kia dr makasiki amoto maprima ka robra bakra kasiti kiloto mapra baka. He said this. He said, you cannot spend enough time in prayer for those whom you love who are lost. So call out their names and then call upon my name. Pick up your cross. You count the cost. Make your life a living sacrifice. Lay your body down on my altar. And allow me to use you as a vessel. Allow me to use you as a channel to pray through. For there's much prayer that must be done. And the prayer that must be done cannot be done of the flesh, says the Lord. Yes, for there's much prayer that needs to be done, and it must be done by my Spirit. For I have equipped all true believers in my kingdom by my Spirit. And those who are equipped by my Spirit can follow the guidance and direction that I give from my throne. You are not alone, for I am with you by my Spirit. So learn to be led by my Spirit, and as you spend much time in prayer, you will develop that leadership within your spirit. Learn to be led in prayer. Learn to allow me to pray through you as you yield to me in prayer, says the Lord. Yes, for there's much authority and exceedingly great power that is released when you speak the words over those who are lost, calling them into my kingdom. There's incredible power and incredible glory that goes forth as you call upon their name and then call upon my name in worship. Oh, if you could only see the amount of power and authority goes forth when you call upon these things by my word, says the Lord. Let my praises be continually on your lips. Continually give thanks through the name. Continually give thanks for those things which you've asked for this is the language of faith. And as you speak the language of faith, it is your faith that pleases me, for I am the one who rewards those who diligently seek me by faith, says the Lord. This is what he said now. Pay close attention to this. He says, the enemy loves to confuse my children. For his tactics are in the emotional realm. His tactics operate in the realms of your thoughts. For you must learn to be led by the Spirit. You must learn to follow what is going on inside of your spirit, says the Lord. You must learn to cast down all thoughts and all imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of my word. For everything that does not line up with my word is a lie, says the Lord. For my word is truth. And you must learn to stand on my truth regardless of circumstances, regardless of what thoughts are presented to your mind. For there will be many thoughts that he presents against your minds. So recognize the tactics of your enemy. Be on guard continually, for you have an enemy that you must be aware of. So have much wisdom, have much grace, and have much strength that's found in me to overcome the enemy and give him no place, says the Lord. Do not allow him to have place in your mind, for you must continually take inventory of your thoughts. Yes, says the Lord, do not let up down your guard. You must continually take inventory of every thought. I'm going to stop right here and just let you think about that now. We need to take this to heart. This is what the Lord is telling us to do now. We need to really consider if we're taking inventory of every thought. Because there's a lot of, throughout your day, I would not doubt if you counted every thought you had, you probably have tens of thousands of thoughts in one day. How many of them are from God and how many are from the enemy? And I can tell you this, the majority of them, if you're running about your business, working your job, doing things, and you're not able to be spending time alone with God, the majority of those thoughts are from the flesh and from the enemy. And if you're not casting them down and replacing them with God's word or scripture, that means that those seeds could uproot the word of God that's planted in your heart, and that's Satan's intention. We need to replace every thought. He says to be on guard, be alert and pray, Jesus said. Mark 13:33. Peter said this, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers around the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. He said, the God of this world, the devil, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And that doesn't go just for salvation. He can blind your mind in other areas. He could blind your mind when it comes to receiving a healing. He could blind you from receiving many things if you'll permit him to. We don't want to permit the enemy to do anything in our hearts. But a lot of times I believe that Christians do that because they don't have their guard up. They don't realize just how aggressive. Everyone say aggressive.
Aggressive.
How aggressive that the enemy is. He's very aggressive. Very aggressive. He's very persistent. He does not give up very easily. In fact, he doesn't give up. And when you cast him out, he tries to come back instantly. That's how he operates. So we need to be on guard and take inventory of every thought. Take inventory. And if it doesn't seem to be a thought of God, or it's just an anxious thought that's not necessary, then we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He commands us to. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, he says, let us therefore keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as holy and beloved children of God. And if we'll keep our eyes stayed on him, he said he'd keep us in perfect peace. That was in the prophecy. That's also scripture. You mean God will prophesy scripture? Absolutely. God says a lot of things, he says, over and over. What else would God say other than his word? Amen. So we need to be aware of the tactics of our enemy. And he works in the emotional realms. That was part of the prophecy. Emotions. He likes to cause your emotions. Emotions can be very strong, especially when you're weak or you're tired. And that's when the enemy loves to ambush. Everyone say ambush.
Ambush.
He likes to ambush you, which means that he had it planned. And he waits. And if you're a strong one, you know, he said in 1 John 2:14, you're a strong young man and the Word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. That's a good confession. See, I'm strong and the Word of God lives in me and I've overcome the evil one. You know, and if you're a strong one who spends a lot of time in the Word or spends a lot of time with God, then he knows he's not going to get you at those times when you're spending time with God. He's going to have to wait till you're at your weakest point. He will watch you. He'll find a time when you get too busy to spend time with God or something like that. And he will, at that time, he waits and he'll release many spirits at that time to try to beat you down, to try to destroy you, whether it be with a sickness or a poverty or a disease or whatever he tries to come up against you with. And at that time, Peter said to resist him. 1 Peter 5:9, resist him, standing firm in the faith. James said the same thing. He said, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do we submit to God? We keep our eyes stayed on him, right? Our thoughts. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not of the flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we have weapons and we're in a war, he's telling you. This is 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. We have weapons. We're fighting in a war. We have the weapons. But that's not of the flesh. He says, this is what the weapons that we use are of God. And what we use these weapons in this war for is this. To the pulling down of strongholds. That's a prison in the mind he's talking about. A prison. Without steel bars, a fortified prison that's so strong, it's incarcerated steel, it's stronger than any natural prison on the earth. He says, to the pulling down of strongholds with these weapons of God. Well, what kind of weapons does he talk about? He told you your offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Casting, and the next thing he says, he mentions in that list is casting down imaginations. Now, imaginations are a system of thoughts. A system of thoughts, a rapid thoughts, empowered by emotionalism. It's very difficult to break these down when you get caught up in it. And the next thing he mentions is every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing against exalts itself above the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God would be what? Would Jesus is our wisdom, our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. And Jesus is the Word of God. So any thoughts that are presented to you that exalt themselves above God's Word, we're supposed to cast them down, is what he's saying. And what God wants on your heart, on the throne of your heart, God wants to be seated there with his Word. But what Satan's trying to do with these different tactics he used to unseat God off that throne, unseat the Word of God off the throne of your heart, and to sit on that throne of your heart. Satan wants to be sitting there. We say, well, I'm not going to let Satan in. Well, you may not let him in directly, but if you let his lies in your heart, those seeds planted in your heart, you're letting him sit on that throne where only God deserves to sit. Don't let him in. At all, not even a little bit. Don't let him even scatter any little darkness powder over your heart. You know, and then he says, casting out every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So there's many thoughts that are presented to us every day, many thoughts, probably tens of thousands of thoughts possibly. Unless you spend a lot of time alone with God, you'll find out your mind gets so quiet there's not many thoughts there. Shouldn't be anyhow. So the progression there, he takes it backwards. He shows you where it ends up is in a prison, but how it starts is with thoughts. Every thought, we need to cast them down. And if we don't, then he says it becomes a high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. At this point, it becomes many thoughts, and Satan's intention is to unseat God's word off the throne of your heart. And then he says, casting down imaginations. If we don't deal with it quick enough, it becomes an imagination, which is a system of thoughts empowered by emotions. It becomes a strong system of thoughts within our spirit. It becomes part of you. That's where most Christians walk around in. They live in an imagination. They live in a constant lie because Satan has so thoroughly programmed them. And they don't even realize it. Most things people tell you are lies. People are liars. Even a lot of Christians live in an imagination. They're living in a lie. He said anyone who doesn't do what the Word says is deceived, which means they're partaking of a lie. So who do we trust? We trust God. How can we discern if someone's telling us a lie? We spend a lot of time reading His Word, which is truth. Three chapters isn't going to do it. Not when you're presented thousands of words from other people every day, and most of them are lies, in this wicked, corrupt generation that's going to hell. You realize there was only 8 people that got in the ark? And when Noah's ark at that time, do you realize that there was approximately the exact same amount of people on the face of the earth as there is today? Do you think that this generation is going to heaven? Do you honestly think these hypocrites are going to heaven? You think people that smoke dope are going to heaven? They ain't going there. You think people that get drunk are going to heaven? The Bible says they're not. You think people lie and smoke and steal and do all that wicked stuff that the world does? You think they're going to go to heaven? He says, you destroy the temple of God, God will destroy him. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, around that same area, verse 14. So we don't want to go to hell. So what are we going to do? Well, it starts in our thoughts. Well, I don't believe in hell. It doesn't make any difference if you believe in it. It's real. And if you don't believe in it, and you're not living for Jesus, you're going to go there. If you're living like the world does, if you've got one foot in the world, you're going to go to hell and you're going to burn forever unless you repent. You're going to be tortured. This is not a joke. It's a real place. Anybody who does not live for Jesus, who's not fully surrendered to Jesus, their whole heart isn't for Jesus, is going to go to hell forever. They're not going to get out. If we can't even obey our parents, you cannot obey the Lord. The Bible says so. Your parents are, God has given you an opportunity to prove yourself. If you can obey your parents, then you could obey the God. But if you can't even obey your parents, there's no way you could possibly obey God. He says, if you can't love your brother whom you have seen, you cannot love God whom you've not seen. So regardless of your circumstances, regardless of how we're raised, it is our responsibility to obey God fully. Half-heartedness is always rejected. He said, you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out, Jesus said to the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He said, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, that's where most people are. They don't put his words into practice. They hear them, they love his word, but they don't do it. He said, anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. James said this, he said, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your old selves. He said, anyone who hears the word but does not do what it says, like a man that looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. He said, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues therein, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. He said, if anyone considers himself religious, yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. He said, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted with the world. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. He said, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, he said, to gouge it out. He said, it's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is not quenched. He said, everyone will be salted with fire. Here's another scripture. He says, who can dwell with everlasting burning? You know, I've given this testimony before. Whether you believe it or not, it makes no difference to me, because it's a fact that, you know, 12 years ago, God took me and allowed me to experience hell. And the reason he did it, he told me later, he did it that I would tell people about it. I was when I was 23 years old. And I found myself instantly in a black cavern of some sort. I could see nothing. It was so pitch black. It was darker than any basement without windows that you could ever find in the lowest dungeon. You could never find something that pitch black and dark. Horrifying darkness, just absolutely horrifying, because it was so pitch black. And in the emotional realm, what I first experienced is I felt like as if that I was thrown somewhere into outer space, a billion miles away from every person that's ever existed on the face of the earth. There's no way you can describe how separated from everything and everyone and everything good that you feel. And even in spite of all that, if Jesus were to turn on the lights, you'd see yourself just inches away from someone else in the same cavern. And I felt the emotional torment of every sin that I've ever committed in my entire life all cling to me within a matter of seconds. The emotional torment is indescribable. The regret that you feel in that place is indescribable. How foolish. You instantly feel like, I'm never going to get out of this place. What did I do? And those people that go there will feel like that for not for a minute, not for a few years. They're going to be in there billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of years from now. They're going to be continually tortured in that place. I felt something and I heard something. I worked on the farm for 9 years at that time. And I can tell you that I know what a pitchfork sounds like. And I was being stabbed repeatedly with a pitchfork. That I know. There's no way to, and that's just a little bit of the torment. And then the burning, the sense of just the raging fire. You see, I saw nothing. There's nothing that I could see in that place. I could not see who was stabbing me, but someone was stabbing me repeatedly. And I was in that place. I was only in there. When he let me out, when he finally let me out, I pleaded with him that he left me there forever. Why did you leave me? You left me there forever. And I went on and on and on and on and on about how he left me there forever. And he kept saying, I didn't leave you there forever. And when he finally got me to calm down and describe to me, he told me I was only there for 1 minute, for 60 seconds. And I can tell you, as honestly as anybody could ever tell you the truth, that 60 seconds felt longer to me than the whole 23 years that I had lived at that time. And I am not exaggerating. It felt like forever. So if 60 seconds feels that horrible to be in hell, what do you think that 2 minutes feels like? Or 10 minutes? Or even an hour? Or a day? You're not going to be in there for a day. You do the math. If it felt 1 minute felt longer than 23 years, you do the math for a day, it would be like thousands of years you felt like you were in that place. It's just, there's no way to describe the torments of hell. And God doesn't want you to go there. But as long as you keep 1 foot in the world, as long as you want to smoke dope and drink and hang around at prostitutes and think that it's okay, you're going there. They're going to take you there with them. And God doesn't want it. You can repent today. You can get serious. Amen. It's not okay. He says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, he says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What agreement, he says, what harmony is there between Christ and the devil? Belial. He says, what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? We got everything in common. We do all this stuff. No, you have nothing spiritually in common is what he's talking about. He's not talking about things in the natural. And then he says, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be with them and I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, separate, separate. You cannot have 1 foot in it and be separate at the same time. You're either part of this world or you're out. There's no middle ground with God. It doesn't matter what our opinions are. God's word said. He means what he says. And one day, everyone in this room will realize that God meant exactly what he said. And I want it to be for in a positive sense for you. All the reward instead of all the separation from God. He says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate. That's 100% separate. Talking on the phone with them is not separate. Pastor Dan, when are you going to stop? I'm not going to stop. Jesus doesn't stop. He will stop everything. I will sit here and I will talk until you give it up. All of it. If I'm the last person standing and I'm preaching at the wall, I do not care. I love you too much to allow you to go to hell and move on and start talking about healing or something like that. As long as there's one person in the room who's going to keep putting themselves in the danger or the flames of hell over something so temporal, like sex, a moment of pleasure, to burn the artist that went to hell. Jesus took that artist to hell and she painted pictures. I seen the pictures. And there was a person being sustained from their hands tied by ropes and their feet spread out tied by ropes. It was a woman, and there was a big demon about the size that she was taking a spear with a big spearhead stabbing her in the groin repeatedly, and blood was everywhere. It was a horrible picture. Don't think it won't happen to you. If you got one foot in the world, you're in great danger. He says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. He says, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will happen to the ungodly and the sinner? We have to be separate from the world. He says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his very soul? Mark 8:36. He says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. He says, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. But you don't understand, Pastor Dan, I live in the same generation you do. I'm not that old. I've given it all up because I made a choice. And it's a choice and it needs to be made now. Amen. Some people are saved, but they are not safe. They're not safe. It's like they just escaped the flames of hell and they are dancing on that skinny little gate, just dancing a dance blindfolded with a cavern so deep that you can't see the bottom, too ready to fall down it, and they don't even realize it because they're blinded by their sin. Maybe the man standing in front of you knows something. Maybe, just in your minds, I want you to think about this. Maybe, just maybe, the guy standing in front of you is telling the truth. What if he's right? I can assure you that he is. But a lot of times when people sit in the crowd, they still reason in their minds and they allow the devil who influences them to sin at home to convince them that it won't happen to me. I'm okay. Who can dwell with everlasting burning, he said. If your friends are prostitutes, you're yoked together with unbelief, you're not even hanging around the world, you are part of this world, you are not living a holy life. It's not okay. They're going to take you to hell with them, they're going there. Unless they repent, they are going there and you will go with them as long as you... It's not okay. You're not okay. You should be scared. Fear hell. Fear God, he said. Fear it. If you smoke dope, he says to be sober-minded. He commands in so many places to be sober-minded, to be self-controlled, to be separate from all that garbage. It's the occult. You're opening up the door to the spirit realm. You're getting yourself possessed by demons. Completely possessed. If I were to lay hands on you and you were to genuinely repent so I could release some of those demons out, you'd be scared at the manifestations you've seen. We have to be completely separate. That includes television, music, all of it. I don't care what anybody else preaches. It doesn't make any difference. I'm telling you what Jesus said. Doesn't matter what their opinions are. So most of these preachers that don't preach against us, because they are not willing to do what it takes to separate themselves. And they will not take you further than they're willing to go. But I will take you if you're willing to go with me. Would Jesus watch that garbage on TV? No. And if you are Him, if you're Christ, then what are you doing watching it? Would Jesus listen to the music with the explicit lyrics in it, with the swear words, the curse words, talking about murder, murder, murder? Some people think it's funny. It's like the word says. They don't even know how to blush. He says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Why? You know, it's nice. He says in Ezekiel, he said, my people come and they hear your words as they always do. They come and hear my word. But to you, you're nothing more than someone who sings with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words and do not play them into practice. They love to hear it. It's just like beautiful music. But who's willing to dance to the music? It's worthless, he says. It's absolutely worthless to come here and hear it until you put it into practice. It's too hard, Pastor Dan. I can't do everything you're telling. No, it's a choice. You can do it overnight. You can go home right now and throw it all away and then get on your knees and say, I'm right here, Lord. I will do whatever you want. But most people never enter in. They never do that. They never do it. They flirt around with it. They're very religious. They come to church week after week. They do the same religious routine. They pray out to God all day. See, look at the prayer that God answered. Things go bad and they think God's cursing. They don't know what's going on, but they never fully surrender their heart to Jesus. They never truly get saved. They're hypocrites. They're really good actors. But God sees our hearts. It's not good enough to be religious. He needs full surrender. He's not looking for religion. He's looking for a surrendered heart. A broken heart. A heart that's completely broken for Jesus. He said, a broken and contrite heart I will not despise. And until your heart breaks for Jesus, until this world is appalling to you, you're part of it. Dress like the world. Look like the world. Talk like the world. Hang around with the world. James chapter 4, if you have your Bible. Pastor Dan, you're so hard on us. Help us get free. Go home and read your Bibles. It will help you get free. Read it day and night. Be safe. Be filled, be strong, pray in tongues day and night. Just press in. You know, the other day I was thinking, I keep asking the Lord, what is it about me, Lord? Why is it that I just can't stop praying? What is it? He says, it's love. The reason people don't pray is because they don't have any love in their hearts. The reason people don't pray is because they don't love other people enough to spend their whole day in prayer. That's why they don't do it. It's not the job. Because I did it when I worked full-time job. Even in a business atmosphere, prayed all day. The reason people don't pray is because they're lazy and they don't love other people or themselves. They don't mind being lazy. They don't mind insulting the Spirit of grace. He says here in James chapter 4, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet. You cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people. Everyone say adulterous people. Adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? But they got to read between the lines, Pastor Dan. That doesn't mean what it says. You better believe that it means exactly what it says. Anyone who becomes a friend of the world becomes an enemy. They hate God. I love Jesus. No, you don't. You love Him with your lips, but your heart is far from Him. Jesus said Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings about rules taught by men. You've let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. He said you have a fine way of setting aside God's commands in order to observe your own traditions. Well, I'm not one of the religious Pharisees. Well, you're worse than that. Your tradition is to come to church, but never fully surrender to him. Is he talking to me? I don't know. If the shoe fits, wear it. You decide if it's for you. I'm preaching to thousands of people online right now. From all over the world. From all sorts of countries. Africa. We've got Ireland that listens to us. We've got, you name this country I never even heard of listening to us online. Every day. Now, I would hope that none of this is for people in this room. But if it is, you need to take it to heart. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world, notice he said the word chooses, it's a choice. He said, I've set before you this day life and death, blessings and cursings, therefore choose life. Choose it. Well, I'm going to choose to be friends with the world. I'm still going to go to heaven. No, you're not. Because you're an enemy of God. You hate God. Separate yourself, he said. And then I'll be a father to you, be my sons and daughters. It's okay. It's not that big a deal, Pastor Dan. It's all opinions. He said, let no one deceive you with empty words, he told me. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to let you deceive me with your empty words. I'm going to stick to the word of God. God's word is not empty. Amen. It's full of life. These are words of life to set us free. Why are you trying to make things so hard? You're trying to take away all our fun. No, it shouldn't even be fun to you. The reason it's fun to you is because you've never separated. You've never experienced his love. And you will never experience his love until you separate. Amen. So now, he says that we're enemies of God if we have one foot in the world. Enemies. Hatred towards God, he says. Verse 5, or do you think that Scripture says without reason that God jealously longs for the spirit that he made to live in us? In other words, God is a jealous God. It's one woman, one big name in the world, got so mad when her pastor said that God is a jealous God that she left the church and now she's preaching to billions of people a one world religion. God's a jealous God and he has every right to be jealous because it would be equal to your son or your daughter despising your rules and spitting in your face. Why has it got to be so severe? Because it's not a human we're talking about. We're talking about the holy God. Amen. Who created the heavens and the earth, the sea, every creature in the sea. He created the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom. He stretched out the heavens by his understanding. He sends lightning with the rain and causes clouds to rise from the ends of the earth. He's the creator. And he is a loving God. Well, you don't make him sound very loving. I'm trying to get you to experience his love because until you separate, you'll never experience it. Why am I like this? Because you're stubborn, rebellious hearts. And you've been programmed by the greatest militaristic leader, genius, that's ever been evil on the face of the earth called the devil. He's an absolute genius. So much that this will be the third world. The pre-Adamite creation completely destroyed. Billions of people at Noah's flood completely destroyed. Only 8 people got in the ark. And this generation will be similar. How many people are going to be saved? Jesus said, strive. Are only a few people going to be saved? Jesus said, strive. He said, to agonize with every fiber of your being to enter into the narrow door. He said, for many will try to enter, I tell you, and will not be able to. They will stand outside knocking and pleading. Sir, sir, open the door for us. He said, I don't know you or where you come from. They said, we ate and drank with you. We sat in the church services, Jesus. We were right there. I said, amen. I said, praise God to all your words. We had communion with you, Jesus. He said, I never knew you. He said, away from me, all you workers of iniquity. They refuse to let go of their sin. He doesn't have any relationship with anybody who is involved in habitual sin, practicing sin. Doesn't have it. Doesn't matter what we think. We have to fully obey God. I hope I'm making myself clear. He said this, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And to make it very, very clear, he goes on with the next verse. He says, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished? Who's trampled the Son of God underfoot, who's treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who's insulted the Spirit of grace. For you know him who said, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful, dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Picture yourself before the throne of God. You're either going to be on one end or the other. You're either going to be a sheep or a goat. If you were here for the prophecies at the beginning of the service, he says he's separating. Sheep on his right, goats on his left. Where are you going to be? Are you completely holy? Are you separate from the world? Are you completely, is your life devoted to prayer? Are you surrendered to your whole heart to Jesus? Or you still got one foot in the world? There's, depart from me, you who are cursed, in the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Or, well done, good and faithful servant. It's your choice. I can't make the choice for you. I make it right now. But I'm okay hanging around with these people. No, you're not. You got to be separate. What happened to Israel? That's Old Testament. He said these things happened to them as examples, he said, in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Everything that's written in the past is written to teach us, he said. He said they're written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Everything that happened to them, what happened to them when they married the unbelievers and did all that stuff? What happened? They were completely destroyed. Well, not many of all of them. There was only two people that entered in the promised land. How many people were there? 3 million? Well, there's no hope. Yes, there's hope. It's a choice. If you want to go to heaven, you can go, but you're going to have to strive. It's not going to be easy. All I got to do is believe in Jesus. It's not enough. He said, you believe, the devils believe, and tremble. But you want to know, a foolish man, the faith without works is dead. Is it hard, Pastor Dan? It's hard. It's doable. I do it. Many other people that do it, it's a choice. Why is it so hard? Because you refuse to separate from the world. If you separate from the world, it'll be a whole lot easier. I struggle with all this sin because, Pastor Dan, I watch all these stupid movies with sex in them, lies, and they say Jesus Christ is a curse word, and they say God with swear word after it. They say all sorts of swear words, and I don't, that's not what the part of the movie I like. I like all the entertainment of the movie, but that's not, you're partaking of it. You're partaking of it. It doesn't matter how you try to explain it away. You are partaking of that filth. Any movie that has Jesus as a cuss word in it will not enter my home. David said, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. That's not evil. Well, your conscience is seared. It is evil. It's absolutely evil. 100% pure evil. It's of the devil. That Satan made that movie. He's sitting behind the camera. He's doing the, he's putting the whole thing together. Well, I'm still going to talk to my unbeliever friends on the phone. Why would you do that? Why you want to be friends with the world? Well, that's not, I'm not hanging around with them. Yes, you are. It's the same thing. Jesus said to even look upon a woman lustfully is adultery of the heart. How do you think you're going to get away with this stuff? It's like he said, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and don't believe what? What the pastor's telling you. This is the truth. This is how it really is. I don't care what the other pastors don't tell you. They can stand before God. I'm going to tell you the truth. This is the facts. We've got to be separate from the world in order to be saved. I just feel like I'm saved. I believe that Jesus loves me. He does love you enough to die for you, but he also said he's the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey him. Hebrews 5:10. He's not the author of eternal salvation to anyone, but to those who obey him. The wrath of God. He said anyone who doesn't receive the Son, the wrath of God remains on him. And you can't receive the Son without receiving his word. It says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. He is the Word. Let me read you something. He just brought this to me. And I know this is a hard teaching. Who can hear it? That's what Jesus' disciples said, and many left him. It's okay. We don't want you to leave. We want you to be saved. That's why I'm telling you this, so you can just say, yes, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home tonight. I'm going to burn all the movies. Why are you going to burn them? That's not scriptural yet. As they did in the book of Acts, they burned all the scrolls. It was worth millions and millions of dollars. 50,000 drachmas. They burned it all. Why? Because they didn't want anybody else to get their hands on it and cause them to sin. They knew they'd be held accountable. That's how pure their hearts became. Why? Because they were fear of the Lord. Because what had happened is seven sons of Sceva were casting out devils. And they said, Jesus, I know. The man jumped on him and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you? And he jumped on him and beat them all up. One man who was demon-possessed. It became known all over Ephesus. It says all the people got together. They were a fear of the Lord. They burned everything that was not of God. And they got serious about the relationship with God. Sometimes it takes an extreme event for people to finally, genuinely repent. It's unfortunate. It shouldn't be that way. Jesus said in John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, we want to bear fruit so he'll prune and purge us. We don't want to be one who does not bear fruit. And the fruit he's looking for is, first of all, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5:22 and 23 describes the fruit of the Spirit. But he's also looking for eternal fruit for us to go and get other people born again. A fruit of righteousness. He says, he's talking to his disciples, you're already clean because the word I've spoken to you. Now notice he says the word. That's the key to understanding these verses. He's referring to the word. Remember, Jesus is the word. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Remain in the word. You can't remain in Jesus without remaining in the word, and you can't remain in the word without doing what it says. He says this, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, in the word. So the word is what we're going to get our strength from, the word, so we can bear the fruit of righteousness that he desires of us, that he commands from us. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you don't abide in the word, you're not going to produce the fruit he's looking for. And he tells you what happens. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain, and he gives you the positive, if you remain in me and my words, he's telling you this is what I'm talking about, the word. If my words remain in you, ask whatever you will and it will be given unto you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So in order to show that you're one of his disciples, that means that you bear much fruit. He makes it very clear. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So it's a choice to enter into his love, and it's a choice to remain in his love. You're not going to experience the love of God outside of obeying his word, which is his commandments. And he tells you right here, if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love. So in other words, the words are commands. They're not suggestions. We have to do it. If Jesus is your Lord, that means he's your master. And if you have someone who's your master, like your dog, you're the master of your dog obeys your commands, if you trained it anyhow. I'm okay, Pastor Dan. I'm going to leave here. I'm going to go talk to all my friends on the phone. I'm going to keep gossiping and slandering. I'm going to keep on doing it, smoking dope and hanging around with prostitutes. I'm going to do everything I want, and I'm going to go to hell. Don't want you to go there. I'm going to intercede for you. I'm going to try to block you. I'm holding you up in prayer right now. Everybody that listens online, I'm standing in the gap. We're holding you up in prayer. But as long as you're going to keep on disobeying God, you're living in sin. Deliberate sin. I've warned you. Deliberate sin. You're living in deliberate sin. It's like spitting in Jesus' face every time you do it. Just spitting in his face. No, it's not. Yes, it is. It's equal. It's even worse because he's a God of heaven. He's a holy God. Never heard anybody preach like this. Maybe nobody spends enough time with God to know what he wants you to hear. Now listen to this. Maybe nobody loves you enough to tell you the truth. He says in verse 12, verse 11, he says, I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus is my friend. Keep yoking self together with unbelievers is not your friend. You're friend of the world. You're an adulterer. You're enemy of God. You're in hatred towards God. No, I'm not. I love God. No, your lips are flapping lots of big boastful words, but your heart is far from him. Give it up. It's a choice. You can do it. Some of you know my testimony. I'm nothing. And he pulled me out and I obey his word. If I can do it, I am fully convinced that no one will have any excuse when they stand before him.